Welcome, everybody, to the Somewhere in Vegas podcast here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark VQ. I'm your host. Today we have three very, very great women being talked to us today. The first one will be an actress that's been in horror movies and currently is the star of Disney Channel's Stuck in the Middle, Serena Vincent. We'll be talking to her a little bit about their one-hour Christmas special that's coming up, as well as a couple other projects, including a movie that just aired on Hallmark Channel. We'll have her on first. Then we'll be talking to model Evgenia Kuzmina. The Russian beauty has worked with some of the best names in the fashion industry and also does comedy, and we'll talk a little bit about that, her comedy career as well as her modeling career and her calendar that's coming out to help the hurricane victims. We'll be talking to her as well. And last but not least, a very talented musician and songwriter, Margie Singleton. Margie had some very top 10 hits and has worked with some of the most popular legends, including George Jones, in her time, and her husband Leon Ashley when they had a number one smash, Laura. We'll be talking to her a little bit about her career, her new projects coming up, and her new album. So first of all, let's talk to Serena Vincent. She's doing a great job over on Stuck in the Middle, and we'll be talking to her a little bit about that, as well as her Thanksgiving movie, The Thanksgiving House on Hallmark Channel, and a little bit about her acting. So here, first off, Serena Vincent.
Are you there, Serena?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's exciting to see that you're a part of a very popular show, Stuck in the Middle. I mean, how's it been for you to be a part of the show and, you know, be a part of the cast? And how's it been shooting the show over at Disney?
Well, it's been wonderful. It's been one of, like, you know, I've done a lot of different things in my career, but this job is really special to me. It's a really special role. I play a mom of seven kids, and all the kids are incredibly talented, and it's wonderful working for Disney, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, you never know where this business is going to take you and how each role sort of changes your life and changes your career, and this one's been really special.
I mean, how much was this a little bit different from what you were doing previous? Obviously, you did some movies, and then you were a part of a TV series before this, a couple of TV series before this. But, I mean, how much of a strict departure has it been between doing this kind of show versus, you know, maybe a horror film or more of an action series like you've been in? Has it been a little bit harder, especially if it's very comical like this show is?
Well, I wouldn't say hard. I wouldn't say it's more difficult at all. It's just different, you know. It's that the beauty of being an actor is being able to dive into all kinds of new and exciting and different roles. So, I mean, I love horror movies. I love my horror fans. Those are a blast to make, but it's, you know, it's different. You're usually on location and, you know, and playing around with buckets of fake blood and things and pretending like you see monsters that aren't there. And it's a different kind of acting. But so this is, I feel like comedy is one of my strengths, and I've done a lot of it, but I've never been able to do this kind of quirky kind of a role. And I'm also just, you know, as a person, very maternal, and I love children. So I feel like I'm getting to explore both of those things role, and it's not, one isn't more difficult than the other, it's just different, you know. It's a different muscle.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and obviously you're flexing that muscle really well, I mean, on this as well. I mean, when was this Christmas special shot?
Recently, actually. We just shot that in September, so they've really, like rushed it pretty quickly. It's interesting when you work on a kid's show, you shoot a lot really fast because the kids grow so quickly. They're all grown up. You forget how I mean, we're obviously aging, but children are, you know, growing taller and changing, like, daily. It's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
In September, and then it airs December 8th.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about that, too, and you know, getting out the Christmas decorations in September. So some people are just kind of, you know, those Christmas productions have a tendency to be, like, right in the middle of summer or right towards the end of summer. So it's got to be kind of crazy that you'll see all those all the Christmas decorations and stuff like that going on as well. So must be crazy for you. I mean, how spend Christmas? I mean, are you do you spend it with family? Do you head out? What's up with you in terms of Christmas?
Yeah, well, going back to what you were first saying, I have a Thanksgiving movie actually playing on the Hallmark Channel this week. Called The Thanksgiving House, and we shot that like in the middle of the summer. It was like 100 degrees, and you know, we shot it in the middle of the summer and wearing big wool coats. So yeah, that's just also another like fun part of acting. You don't ever shoot, you know, a Christmas special at Christmas time. But yeah, I have a big family. Family's really important to me, and I spend the holidays with my family. I come from Italian American, so like food and cooking and, you know, togetherness is a big part of how I grew up, and our Christmas tradition to be together, cook together, eat, drink, and be merry.
Do you ever do the meal of the seven fishes? Have you heard that?
Absolutely, we did it growing up. My my grandmother. We didn't have quite. Wasn't as quite exactly the seven fish tradition, but we did have like seven courses or five courses, and a lot of it was, you know, fish based. Growing up, and we try to keep that going. We don't make the big fish sauce, but my mom does like. We do like big shrimp cocktail, and we keep a lot of, and you know, homemade pastas. We keep a lot of it in there.
Well, it, you know, and going back to, obviously, the Hallmark movie. I mean, they're really killing it right now in the holiday thing because they always have like 5 or 10 movies already in like in production every year, and then they rotate their old stock pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
What's
it like to have been a part of the Hallmark movie? And I mean, is that something that you're looking forward to doing, you know, maybe sometime in the future? I mean, they have a tendency to bring back the actresses a lot.
I hope that they do. You know, going back to what you were saying before, like I was in Cabin Fever and Not Another Teen Movie. I've done a lot of horror. I've done a lot of like more like edgier kind of roles. I was like trying and wanting to sort of cross over back more into like family stuff because I just want to be able to work forever as an actor and be able to do it all. And so I was really grateful to do a movie for Hallmark, and they know what they're doing over there. They really run like a really, it's like a well-oiled machine, you know. They get them done quickly. They're professional. They're slick. They look good. The writing's good. The actors know what they're. You know, it was a really great thing to be a part of. So I do hope that they'll bring me back and do another one. You know.
Yeah, I mean it's great. You know, we can be able to say. Now, are you originally from Vegas?
I was born and raised in Las Vegas. My whole entire family's there. So going back to what I do for Christmas. I go to Vegas, and I'm at my mom's house.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Christmas edition, they always have Cowboy Christmas out here, you know, with the rodeo usually coming into town, and you know, it's kind of an amazing thing to be able to see Christmas in Vegas. So, you know, it's you know, people don't really equate those two together. So, it's great to be able to see that.
Were you born and raised in Vegas?
I am not born and raised. I am a transplant.
Okay. When did you move there?
Quite a few years ago, actually. I moved here for work and stayed ever since. So it's, you know, and then I transcommute between Vegas and Montana quite often due to other projects. So yeah, it's a really fun thing to do, you know? I mean, and then being so close to Los Angeles, it's always fun to be able to go back and forth.
Yeah, it's great for me. Yeah, holidays, it's like not, you know, usually, I mean, look, if I leave at the wrong time, sometimes again, a 4-hour drive can be a 9-hour drive, but I can't complain, you know, that I can jump on a Southwest flight and see my family in an hour, so that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's great to hear. You know, I know that you're busy and you've got other things to do, but I want to go ahead and start plugging a bunch of stuff here. When's the Stuck in the Middle going to be on Disney Channel, the 2-hour Christmas special?
It's a 1-hour Christmas special, and it's on this Friday, December 8th.
And then the Thanksgiving movie's coming out this weekend?
The Thanksgiving House, I think it aired yesterday, today, tomorrow. It's called the Thanksgiving House. So if you have Hallmark Channel, you can Google that and see when it airs.
Yep.
I also have a movie that I did called Broken Memories that's out. It came out last week. It's about Alzheimer's, and it's really special. Ron Howard's father is the lead actor, and this disease is devastating and has touched millions of people's lives, whether you've known someone that has had it or you're a caretaker. I have just a small role in the film, but it's a really special film, and that's out on iTunes and VOD.
Yeah, anything else coming up for you in the coming year?
Well, we're still shooting season 3 of Stuck in the Middle, so we're busy doing that. I wrote a book series, so I'm working on another book. I'm a Lifetime movie that should be out next year.
I need to get you – maybe we'll get you back in February to talk about your books, because I'm very fascinated about the book series that you have. Tell me a little bit. Let me always know a little bit about that. We'll tease it for hopefully. We'll get you back on around Valentine's Day. But tease us a little bit about the books.
Yeah, they're from HarperCollins, and I co-wrote them with a girlfriend of mine. Her name is Jody Lipper, and we wrote them 7, 8, 9 years ago. But they're still out. They're actually doing HarperCollins doing a reprint of How to Eat Like a Hot Chick. So it's How to Eat Like a Hot Chick, How to Live Like a Hot Chick, and How to Love Like a Hot Chick. And they're girlfriend-to-girlfriend advice books, so it's irreverent, sassy, fun, but inspiring advice that you would get from your best girlfriend. We redefined the term hot chick, so it's not about looking a certain way. It's about an inner confidence and an inner beauty, and they really helped a lot of women, and they were a lot of fun, and, people still love us.
Yep. You guys can follow Serena on Twitter at Serena Vincent. That's CERINAVINCENT. Is that the same thing on Instagram?
Yep, and on Instagram at Serena Vincent, exactly.
Okay, guys, maybe make sure to check her out. If you guys are watching holiday movies like I am on Hallmark Channel, look out for the Thanksgiving House on there as well. And definitely Disney Channel, Stuck in the Middle, currently in the middle of season 3. So make sure you guys check that out as well. And check out her books as well. SerenaVincent.net, you guys can check out all things Serena Vincent there as well, including her books. Like I said, we'll try to get you back. I would love to get you back on, like I said, right around Valentine's Day to talk about your books and catch up with you as well, Serena. Thanks a lot for giving us a little bit of your time.
That's awesome. I would love that. Let's do it. Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and talk to you soon.
Yeah, enjoy your time out here while it lasts.
I will. Yeah. Well, actually, I'm in LA right now. My whole family's coming to LA for Thanksgiving, so, and then I'll go there for Christmas. But thank you.
Okay, no problem, Serena. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye bye.
A very entertaining interview with Serena Vincent. You guys, again, can check her out at serenavincent.net, and you can also check her on Twitter at Serena Vincent. We'll have her back coming up this February to talk a little bit about her books, which is a fascinating series of books, and talk a little bit about her upcoming Lifetime movie, hopefully. So listen in for that as well. Now we'll be talking to a very talented model turned comedian and actress. She's done a really great job. She currently has a calendar coming out, and this is coming from a very veteran model that has had several kids and a family. She's also very funny. We talk a lot about her comedy, and it's really a great interview for you guys to listen to as well. She's a really charming individual, and she said she has this calendar coming out that'll benefit the hurricane victims. So definitely look out for that over on Amazon.com. You guys can check her out there. Eugenia Kuzmina. Here we go.
Sorry about that. I forgot that you had to press Marisha on the button. How's everything going?
It's great. Yeah, I can totally relate to the craziness that you're going through, you know, because in my life it happens every day with kids and work. And yeah, so it's totally normal.
Yeah, I imagine that as well. I mean, obviously, you know, I was just reading up on you right now, and, you know, it says that you also do comedy. So that must help in terms of, you know, some of your material.
Yeah, you know, people go to comedy for different reasons. And I think I went to comedy because it was my sort of free therapy, you know. So after having kids and working and flying all over and just having a busy schedule, I was ready, you know, to kind of release that information to the world. And comedy was definitely a great way to, you know, to connect to people. And I love it.
What was it like? I mean, well, first of all, how did you get into the comedy? Was that something that you really wanted to do, or was it something?
No. You know, I come from Russia, so a lot of times people in Russia, they don't smile, and we're really serious. Like, you know, how many funny Russian people do you know in your life?
I
can count them on my fingers. I don't know, you know, our culture is so serious, and like it's such a hard, I think, like lifetime, you always survival mode. So I never thought about, you know, doing comedy. I kind of started, when I started doing movies, I was like, okay, I'm going to be an action person, you know, I can totally play Russian spies. And then somehow I started being cast in comedies. And my second film that I did was Fading Gigolo with Woody Allen, who, you know, is doing stand-up all the time. So we were on set in New York, and I kind of, you know, I was just talking to John Turturro and researching things, and it kind of connected in my mind, maybe I should try to do stand-up, you know, just because I was looking to grow as an actor, because modeling and acting is such a different thing. So I couldn't find a lot of roles that, you know, I could play realistically and naturally because I have a strong accent. And I was like, maybe I could try stand-up. Why not? You know, it's a like live connection to audiences. There's no editing, no cutting. So if you're funny, you're funny. You know, if people laugh, then, like, it's something there because you don't know, obviously, who's going to come to your shows and you never meet these people. There's no laugh track. So you're kind of on the spot. And it was fun. It's not about, like, doing jokes, what I realized, you know, it's really about being honest and truthful, and people kind of relate to that, and they connect to, you know, things that they go through in their life.
Yeah, you know, and you get that instant satisfaction of the laughter. I mean, you don't get that on set, you know, and that and on the converse side of it, it is kind of, you know, kind of going out there without a safety net. It's all you out there. You can fall flat on your face, or and then you can get back up on the horse, and that's a little bit, you know, that's got to be a little bit of a thrill for you, especially that first time you went up there.
Yeah, it's super fun, you know. And when I started doing that, it was still a very much like a boys' club, so there are not a lot of girl comedians, or, you know, as a girl comedian, you have to dress down. And I was coming from modeling, I was like, no, I'm going up there all dressed up. And of course, it creates additional challenge, you know, because people would obviously judge you, and, you know, you have to open your mouth and say something. And it was really interesting to start out, but I kind of like naturally felt that it was a great way to connect for me with people, just going through so many crazy things and being, you know, like a mom of three kids and, you know, trying to keep it all together and obviously, you know, failing short, and it's just super fun.
Yeah, you know,
people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good release for you too, like you said, with all the stress and all the things that are going on in your life. I mean, it's kind of interesting. We don't see as many actresses maybe take the leap over from acting over to the comedy. I'd love to see that happen a little bit more often. I mean, tell me how did the modeling thing come around?
You know, I was born to be a model, like literally, which was a joke, but they took me from the hospital where I was born in Russia to photograph for a newspaper about health issues and, you know, like healthy babies, not healthy shoes in Russia. And my mom didn't know about that. I mean, I've been modeling now for, you can say, like 20, no, more years. and then, you know, I think growing up in post-Soviet Russia, it was so strict. People still had that kind of, you know, like grown up in very strict rules and drawing down the lines. And I felt I was always a more sensitive child and very creative. So I could never find an outlet for that. And when the modeling started, a lot of companies like Coca-Cola, they started coming to Russia. And I was one of the first people who they approached to, you know, to do all these things. And I found a really amazing creative way for me to, you know, express myself. And for me, it was always kind of more like acting, to be honest. You know, it was never like, some people maybe do it, maybe it's more developed in America and like it's cool to be a model, but in Russia, like nobody knew what it is. So for me, it was always about acting and creating different stories. And I was really lucky to work with amazing designers. And I was super inspired by, like, their vision and mood boards. And, you know, somebody like Saint Laurent, his last show, you walk into his office and it's full of smoke. And you can't see him unless you have a red lipstick. And, you know, you're like that kind of muse. So you're always still part of the story. Like, you're creating something very special.
Yeah, you know, I've had models on here before, and, you know, it's not, everybody thinks it's an easy gig, you know, you just have to look great and walk the runway or do something like that, but there is a lot to being a model. You know, it is, you know, for the serious model, it's a real serious job. There's things that you need to know and learn as well. I mean, you know, what do you think is the greatest misperception about what a model does, and maybe some of the hardest things that you had to do in terms of modeling?
Well, you know, I always advise for young girls just to have their feet on the ground, you know, because when you're 15 or, you know, 13 or whatever age you start, you usually start really early, and you find yourself in the adult world. You have to know how to do business because it is a business. You know, you sign contracts. You deal with money, you're all by yourself. Usually you travel, your agency looks after you, but, you know, there's a lot of times you're by yourself. You have to know how to deal with adults in different situations. And, you know, every day you're judged just based on your looks. So just being a teenager, you can imagine what goes through your head when you've been rejected, and every model has been rejected. You know, you're not going to be right for every, you know, job. And people would just say, well, your hair is too short. And it just can get into your head if you don't have that solid ground of your family, your friends, or some other interests rather than, you know, being obsessed about, like, how people perceive you. I think it can really, you know, be challenging for some girls. I went through anorexia when I was 15 because my agency said I had to lose weight when I started modeling. I had no idea, you know, what it is, but I really needed to make a living because I was responsible for my whole family. And that kind of was a big problem for a time. I had to go to doctors, and thank God I figured it out. But I think it definitely, you know, grounded me in some time. And I think for girls who start out, it can be a real thing. You know, if you have to be connected to something real in your life, no matter what you do, I think.
Yeah, there's a little bit of self-confidence that needs to go into there as well. And, you know, hopefully you have a good support system around you in order to, you know, kind of weigh out what's bad or, you know, certain instances. Because, you know, there might be some that might be wanting to be a little bit more polite. They don't want to get into certain situations, you know, where, something inappropriate happens or something like that. I mean,
I know,
you know,
there's
really
so much happening.
Yeah.
So much happening. I'm so happy that people are really kind of, you know, trying to be more responsible for their actions and, you know, both acting and modeling world. And, you know, it's really amazing to see, you know, people kind of supporting these young girls, and they don't have to go through things that, you know, maybe we had to face.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, this is you know, I think that people knew about what was going on, but they didn't express it. They thought that maybe everybody kind of knew what was going on, and mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, you should be aware of that, you know.
Now it's time to take it to the next level. You know what I really like, because I was reading this amazing book by Brené Brown. It's called The Wilderness. The Wilderness is, I forgot the exact name of this book, but what it said, like, it's really not a good idea to dehumanize a person. You know, maybe you do something bad, but we have to move forward towards, you know, creating new steps. And, like, what are you going to do about it? You know, what are the rules? What are the new regulations to be respected? And, you know, I think it's time for us as a society to move towards that, right? Some positive outcomes from all the things that and the scandals that are current in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you as a mom, you know, are proactive. I'm pretty sure about that, you know, letting your kids know, you know, that, you know, how to react and behave, you know. I have a feeling some of these guys didn't get that growing up, you know, that, you know, you shouldn't do, there's certain things you shouldn't do, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes on in their lives. So you as a parent, I'm pretty sure are doing a pretty good job of, you know, teaching your kids, you know, what's right, what's wrong, and more importantly, how to act in certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying, you know, growing up in LA is a specific thing. My kids grew up in LA, so a lot of times you watch TV shows and it's not as much of a social environment. So what I'm trying to do is take them to do a lot of charity work. We literally work with this amazing organization called A Couple of Girls and Guys Give Back. And we go either downtown LA and distribute food to homeless people, and they come also, and, you know, they can give the food and you actually connect with people eyes to eyes, which is an amazing experience. Or we go and collect trash on the beaches, you know, in Santa Monica, and we learn about that. Or we go connect to animals at the, like, farm sanctuary where they're saved, you know. So I think you can, like, teach them different things, how to be human in any situation. It takes maybe extra step in such places as LA, or, you know, somewhere where you grew up surrounded by a lot of privilege, I would say, comparing to other countries or cities.
Yeah, well, speaking of charity, let's talk about the calendar. You know, which is, you know, helping a lot of countries around the world that were affected by the hurricanes. How did this come about?
Well, I met this amazing photographer, Antoine Verglas, and, you know, he shot a lot of celebrities and first ladies. He's an incredible artist and, you know, just an amazing person. And for me, my dad was a nuclear scientist, actually, in Russia. So I grew up around the environment, and even though he had to work for the government, he was always very passionate about ecology, and I grew up with that awareness all the time, kind of, you know, traveling around the world as a model, and I thought, how can I give back in a way, you know, what can I create now, because obviously I don't need to model just as a job, you know, I can bring different elements together and maybe give back in that way. So I decided, me and Antoine, we thought that, you know, we would do something beautiful and do amazing shots at the beach. And as he has a house in St. Barts, we went there and we decided to shoot this calendar, which is nude. But our message was, well, it's about nature, you know, it's not about fashion. It's about, like, humanity and human body and also nature, beautiful images of sunsets. And it was fantastic. And a week later, there was a hurricane, which, you know, destroyed a lot of things around. So I thought, you know, first I wanted to support kind of the nature and just different other kind of different, you know, organizations. But right after the hurricanes, it was more urgent to help the victims and, you know, kind of organizations that were going through that. So I decided to put my point on, you know, supporting those kind of organizations. And I'm really proud of it. I think it's a fantastic calendar. You can buy it on Amazon. And I think it's a great way to give back to, you know, from like what we have, what we put together with the photographer and, you know, do something nice.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, especially coming, you know, having to bounce back from, you know, from being a mom and, you know, still having the look that you have right now. I mean, you know, what does that say, you know, say about, you know, I think there's a lot of women feel that, you know, after they start a family that they can't bounce back to a really good shape, but you've proven that you've done that. I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know what I love, actually? I love where the modeling industry is going right now, because you don't have to be a certain shape. Like, I see a change in kind of a trajectory where it's going. You can be a model at any age, and, you know, look, there's so many, you know, different curvy models that are really popular right now, and they could never do that. When I was 15 or 16, they were just in the category of like plus size models, but now they're really becoming, you know, really well known and have their own word. And also there are so many different models who just don't fit that mold of, oh, you have to look a certain way, which is so inspiring. There are different bloggers, you know, they're different kind of women. And I think it's a very important message to anybody, you know, the girls that are growing up, that you just have to be comfortable in your own skin and, you know, have the personality and you're beautiful. It doesn't matter. Okay. You know, you had kids, you can still be a model. Look at all these top models that are coming back and, you know, doing all the campaigns, and they're much older. They're women in their 70s who are super popular. So it's really fun. It's amazing, you know, to be part of that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to see, you know, things are changing so much over, especially over the past, probably the past 5-6 years where things, this perception is changing so much in terms of where women are in the society, what's, you know, what was considered beautiful, what was considered, you know, considered beautiful in general. And, mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see that has changed a bit. Again, that comes with just, I think, the fact that there's open communication where people are talking about it a lot more openly.
Yeah.
So great to be able to see that perception is changing.
Yeah, it's definitely more diverse. You can see it anywhere from movie business, you know, to fashion, to anything else, which is, it's fantastic.
Yep. I know we're running out of time here. I've got another guest coming in, but I wanted to mention, I mean, first of all, ask you, are you doing any more comedy coming up?
Absolutely. I'm doing a show on December 1st at the Comedy Store. Please come check it out. It's usually sold out, but, you know, I would love to see, you know, if the tickets are still available, it would be amazing to have you there. And then I'm planning to do more shows. I'm actually planning to come to Vegas next year and do a few shows there. I was just there 2 days ago to support a music festival. So I'm going there to do a lot of shows. And then, yeah, I have a few films coming out. And one of them is Isn't It Romantic, which is a fun comedy with Rebel Wilson. So there's going to be a lot of more interesting things next year. And I hope I see you all guys.
Oh, definitely. You know, if you do comedy up here, let me know. I'd love to have you back on the show. I think we could talk for about another hour or so about what's been going on. But I go to LA once in a while to see a couple friends of mine as well. So I may have to catch you while I'm down there as well if you do some comedy. But
please.
But it's great to be able to talk to you. I think it's very interesting just to see you know, the comedy side of things as well as get your perceptions on modeling. So yeah, we'll definitely talk to you maybe coming in the new year when things kind of you know, go up. And like I said, if you end up coming up to Vegas, we'll definitely get you on the show before then. But best of luck with the calendar. And I want to mention that you guys can follow and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Eugenia Kuzmina, is that correct?
Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
It's a tongue twister, yeah.
Eugenia Kuzmina won on Twitter. Eugenia Kuzmina on Instagram as well. You guys can check that out as well, and also on Facebook as well. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you need to promote?
No, I just want to say happy holidays. You know, it's an amazing year. I think a lot of changes going on, and I just want to wish, you know, the best for everybody. Stay strong and, you know, be healthy and happy.
Oh, definitely. And I look forward to, like I said, talking to you again, you know, hopefully in the new year. And best of luck with this calendar. I hope it raises a lot of money. I will talk to you hopefully in 2018.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
Yep, bye. Eugenia Kuzmina, everybody. You guys can check her out. Like I said, at Eugenia Kuzmina on Twitter. Eugenia Kuzmina 1 on Twitter. Eugenia Kuzmina on Instagram. Definitely check out her shows. And she also has a website, Eugenia-Kuzmina.com. You guys can check out some of their stuff there, including some of her modeling stuff and some of her comedic stuff and some of her acting stuff. So definitely check that out as well. So it's great to be able to have her as well.
Our final guest of the podcast has been making music for over 60 years. Margie Singleton has recorded 9 top 40 country hits, including the number one smash Laura, which was co-written by Leon Ashley. She also has sang duets with George Jones, of all people, and really had a really established career. And now she's looking to make a comeback in terms of that with her new gospel album. We talk a little bit about the gospel album, her new videos for those gospel albums, and here's some of her careers, and a very interesting story about one of the hits that she has had that made it to the charts, but also crossed over to the pop charts. So we'll be talking a little bit about that interesting story as well. So without further ado, the very rich and talented Margie Singleton.
There we go. Are you there, Margie?
I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day here. The sun's been shining, and I'm proud for that. It's cold, but it's fine.
It's starting to get towards Thanksgiving and Christmas, so it tends to be a little bit cooler nowadays.
Yeah,
which is nice in the southern areas. But
are you in Montana?
No, I am. I am actually in Vegas at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, you're good then. The call looked like it said Helena, Montana.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm originally from Montana. My cell phone is from Montana, so I'm calling you on my cell. So
I got you. So thank you for calling me, and thank you for the interview.
You know, I mean, it's great to be able to hear you. I mean, to have such a really great career in terms of your music. You know, you're definitely one of the unsung heroes of country music, I think.
Well, I appreciate it. I have been here a long time, but you know, it's good to be here where I am today and coming from where I was in the late 1959, when George Jones and I had I was the first woman to do a duet album with George, 14 sides I did. And I wrote 2 of those, which I was very proud of. And actually, Bear Family Records just released a huge box set of George Jones from, I think, 1956 to 1963, his days of Star Day and records and all the songs that he recorded in that period of time. And I did the 14 songs with him that, and it's in this album, which I'm so proud of. And it has 33 CDs in it. I mean, 6 CDs with 33 songs on each CD, and an exceptional book. It's a hardback book with 179 pages in it, and it's just awesome. And I have five or six biographies and pictures in that book, and I'm just proud of it. And as you were saying, I had the Keeping Up with the Joneses with Baron Young, and my husband Leon Ashley and I had Hanging On and 4 o'clock. We had several songs that were in the charts, and all that was happened during the 60s. And I've been on the road working and singing all this time. And am I talking too much?
not at all. I mean, It's interesting. You've had an interesting life. I mean, you're originally from Louisiana.
Right.
And you know,
I started off on the Louisiana Hayride in Shreveport, and that was the beginning of Margie Singleton.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting. I have relatives. My mother's family comes from Louisiana as well.
Oh.
I mean, it's very interesting as well. I mean, you know, what was it like me being able to form? You know, what was it like on Louisiana Hayride just to be able to do that in person? And you know, this is basically your first live performance.
Well, I of course, being from Shreveport, I was very much engrossed with the Louisiana Hayride, and about 17 years old, I started writing songs and bought me a little Baby Martin guitar and started going to the Hayride backstage and meeting all the people. And eventually I met a young man by the name of Benny Barnes, and he had a hit record on Poor Man's Riches. And he liked a song that I wrote, and he asked me to go to Houston with him, and I did, and to hit for him to record my song. And we went, and my ex-husband and I, and he introduced me to Pappy Daly, who was Start AD Records at that time, and Pappy liked what he heard, and I don't know how he did, but he did. But anyway, I was just starting out, and I was thrilled to death that I got to record my first session that night in Houston.
Yeah, you know, to be a part of that time, I mean, there was, you know, it was great to be able to see that. And there's a lot of crossover, too, where people would record other people's songs. You know, people like Tammy Rynette and Charlie Pride have covered your song, which is
mm-hmm.
absolutely amazing to be able to say that at the least. But, I mean, you know, what was it like
to
be part of, you know, kind of that kind of atmosphere where with a lot of talented musicians around to kind of learn from?
Well, when I came to first from Shreveport, I went to the Jubilee USA, which was the Red Foley show, and that was the first ABC network televised country music show ever. And I was thrilled to be on that as guest for a number of times, and then I moved to Nashville, and I had a hit record on a song called Old Records. It was a top 10 record, and I got on the Grand Ole Opry, and I sang. I never was a member, but I had numerous appearances on the Grand Ole Opry, for which I'm very proud of. And then I met my husband, Leon Ashley, and we formed Ashley Records and our company, Country Music Spectacular, and Linda Denny, who is one of the founders of Music Row, Jim Denny and Cedarwood Music. Her father was the manager of the Grand Ole Opry, and she wanted to be in the business. She was a school teacher, and so we needed somebody to book our shows and to help promote us, and she joined us. And she's still with me today. My husband, Leon, passed away 4 years ago, and I just thought I would not sing anymore, but God had other plans for me. And last year, from songs that the Lord gave me, I wrote a full gospel CD, and there's 12 songs in it. I wrote 11 of them. My husband wrote one, and it's called On the Other Side of Life. If your listeners would like to look it up, it's on YouTube, and my things are going to be on CD Baby. And now I have the video and the audio both on a song called Jesus Is My Pusher, which is a strange title, I guess, thinking about it. I had a record out on it 50 years ago, and I thought it never did quite what I hoped it would, and I wrote a new verse for it. It's about the drug scene and things of the world and how it catches people and grips them and ruins their lives and how Jesus is the healer. So I rewrote it. I re-recorded it, put a new face on it, and it's out now. It will be available on CD Baby. And if they need to get in touch with me, my email address is MargieSingletonMusic@gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to your gospel roots here because you came from gospel and blues pretty much.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great to be able to be able to hear hear you go back to that as well.
Well, you've had an
outstanding career. I mean, in terms of country music, but there is one thing I wanted to ask you about. It's an interesting story that ended up happening. You asked a songwriter to write you a song, and it ended up being Harper Valley PTA. Now, you were the first to record this, but two other people ended up recording it. Can you tell me a little bit about that story?
Okay, well, actually, I had the country hit on Ode to Billy Joe. Bobby Gentry had a big, big record on it, and we recorded it country and put it on our Ashley Records, and it got up pretty high in the charts, I think to number 40-something, I don't remember, but while it was going, we didn't, Tom T. Hall wrote Harper Valley PTA for me, and somehow it, my husband and I had a tour in Germany, and we went to do our tour and was going to put Harper Valley PTA out when we got back. We heard it on the radio coming from the airport with GDC Riley. And, of course, we were devastated. But my husband flew to New York and sold an album and got 100,000 records, albums sold in advance and got my album out. And it did okay, but of course, Jeannie C had the big hit on it, which is fine. God didn't want me there, or I would have been, you know. I don't know how it got in the hands of somebody to get it out before I did. Well, I do know, but I'm not going to say. But anyway, it's fine. It's all good, and it did quite well for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're two startly different versions. I mean, the verses are
totally different. Yeah,
but you know, listening to your version versus C. Riley's,
mine is more country. Yeah.
You know, but I was interested in that because I was reading about that. And I was like, well, that's interesting. You know, that happens a couple times in music where a songwriter will write something and then several different artists will record
yeah.
it. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, how was it for you to come back, you know, up on the horse with this album and, you know, really get back in the studio and start recording again?
Well, as I said, my husband passed away 4 years ago. We worked the road for 40-something years, and we did our shows and booked our own shows and put our own records out. We did everything, and when he passed away, I thought I would never sing again, but we had turned our lives over to Jesus, and he kind of brought me back and said, you're going to do this, and he gave me the songs for the CD On the Other Side of Life, which I wrote about my husband Leon Ashley's passing, and it's quite a touching song. It's touched a lot of people who have lost their loved ones, and It's been a very, very good CD. If you'd like to go on YouTube and listen to it, it's On the Other Side of Life, and all the songs I think are there on YouTube to listen to. And it was hard at first because I didn't think I could ever sing again without him on stage with me. But our band leader, Lonnie Spiker, he was there, and I knew Leon loved him, and I knew that he would take care of me there, you know, and he gave me strength. And then a young man named Joe Rucker, who is a wonderful singer, and he's not had the opportunities that a lot of us have had, but he's got some great things out on YouTube, and he's with me. He and Lonnie are on each side of me, propping me up, so to speak, but I've gained confidence that I can do it with God and Lonnie and Joe, and my fans have all just rallied around me. And I've always said, no, I'm not. Margie Singleton isn't a household name like a lot of my peers, but I'm right where God wanted me to be.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because obviously you've been through all sorts of productions where, you know, you were taped to tape, you know, really early on, and now we're down to the computers and digital recording as well. I mean, how's it for you to see the kind of the evolution of production in terms of recording music?
It's awesome. It is incredible. I have a video, by the way, that you can see on YouTube called Lost in Cyberspace, which I had the idea for, and I got Joe Rooker and a little lady by the name of Sam Rockford. She's Rockford. She is young, and she knows all the hip stuff on the World Wide Web, you know. And so we got together, and we wrote this about this old lady that can't do these things like sign on and losing her password and can't make a call. You got to look at it. It's funny. Lost in cyberspace, and that's how I am. I'm just amazed at all they're doing in the studio. We used to have to splice tape. We started out on two tracks, and the singers were on one and the musicians were on another, and if you messed up, you just had to start from scratch, or they had to cut that tape and splice it, you know, literally. Now all they got to do is push a button and take one note out. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the voices are a lot clearer now, and you
mm-hmm.
know, they can add a richer, fuller tone to it as well. I mean, it's kind of amazing to see how far it's come. So, it must be amazing for you to be able to hear yourself nowadays. On this, especially with this new album out. So it's great to see that.
Well, I hope people like Jesus Is My Pusher, and I hope they will go to it and download it and enjoy it. And it will be a hard copy of it. I guess that's what you call it. The physical video will be available on CD Baby. As a matter of fact, it probably already is. I've been having a guy get all that set up for me. And you can have the physical video, or you can download it on CD Baby. And I hope people like it and will support it, because it has a wonderful message.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to take a look real quick to see where people can look at that video. But, you know, it's great to be able to see. Are you going to be doing any live performing at all, or, with the
album? Actually, I'm going the day after Thanksgiving. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm being inducted into the Atlanta Country Music Hall of Fame, which is an awesome honor, which I'm so proud of. It's just an incredible event, and I just I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm going to Pigeon Forge around the first of next year to be inducted into the International Country Music Hall of Fame. It's just I've been so blessed with all these happenings that's been going on. God is good, and thank Him that He's keeping me upright, walking still and waking up every morning.
Well, congratulations. Well, I think it's well overdue. Like I said, you've done so much for the country music community, in terms of who you sang with and what your contributions were. So, and congratulations on that.
Thank
as well.
Thank you, Mark.
And I really look forward. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where this album goes. And like I said, perfect time to do it, especially around Christmas time, because everybody's looking for.
Thank you for playing it, and I hope you'll continue maybe to find a spot for it now and then. I just appreciate you so much for doing this, and I hope I hadn't talked your ear off. didn't even give you a chance to ask what you wanted to ask, did
No, I mean, you talked a lot about what I was going to ask you anyway, so it's great. That's great, Margie, to be able to do that as well. Yeah. So if you look up Margie Singleton on Twitter and some of her videos, they're posted on
YouTube,
there as well.
YouTube and CD Baby.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple on Vimeo as well, so you guys can check that out as well.
Yes.
Anything else coming up for you at all, Margie?
At the moment, no. I just finished a couple of things here in Nashville at the Commodore and the Holiday Inn here in Nashville. I just did a weekend there, and I'm going to kind of rest through the holidays and be with my family. I have a new little great-grandson that'll be 1 year old on December the 1st, and I plan on spending my time with them from now till after the 1st of the year, and then we'll get back into hitting it hard.
Do you think that you'll be doing another album after this? Do you have some material that maybe you didn't get to on this last album?
Yes, I've got some new material that I've written, both country and gospel. I recorded most of this in Shreveport. I go back about twice a year to record with a young man that I've known all his life, and he's of a musical family. His father was one of the New Beats, and who had that song Bread and Butter back way back, and his name is Dexter Mathis, and he's just incredible in the studio. You're talking about the new computerized thing. He's just awesome. And he's the one that did all this. He's playing the guitar on Jesus Is My Pusher. And he's just awesome. And I'm looking forward to going back down there. And I've been writing. I've just been writing constantly and got new material almost weekly, you know. But I have to pick and choose because I can't afford to do them all, so I just get the ones that I feel like are going to touch the public.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes it's just about, you know, when, you know, sometimes you'll have an item or a song that you've written that you feel isn't quite right yet, and you had mentioned that earlier, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you bring it back to a certain point, and then you feel
right.
like that's the perfect time, so, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, absolute pleasure to be able to talk to you, Margie.
Well, you too, honey. Thank you so much for giving me your time, and I just appreciate you so much, and hope your listeners will go to YouTube and CD Baby and all those places, wherever they are in outer space out there, and hunt me up and maybe like it a little bit.
Yeah, no problem at all, Margie. You know, like I said, you've had a really great career. It continues. You know, very few artists can say they've had, you know, as long as career as you have. So,
Most people would get the message and stop, you know, but I didn't get the message.
Well, some, you know, perseverance is a quality that not a lot of people.
My music is what's kept me going all this time, and especially kept me going after Leon passed away. I would be lost without my music and my God and my fans and my family.
Well, I mean, that, you know, that's great to hear, and I want to wish you happy holidays to you, and look forward to hearing what's going on with you in 2018.
You too, honey. Thank you so much. Appreciate
no problem,
you.
Mark.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That was the legendary Margie Singleton. You guys can check her new album out, Jesus Is My Pusher, on Ashley Records over on CD Baby. That's what I was sort of thinking about as well. So definitely check that out as well. So you guys can and definitely check it out. I don't think you have any social media. Do you or a website at all, Margie?
Yes, I do. Just a minute. Let's see. Yeah, MargieSingletonMusic.com. That's my. I think that's my website. Girl, I'm lost in cyberspace, don't you know? You got to go over there and listen.
Yeah. Let me double check on that. I will. I happen to be on the theater, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
MargieSingletonMusic.com.
Yep, MargieSingletonMusic.com. You guys can check that out as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Your videos are up on there as well, so you guys can check out the videos over there, MargieSingletonMusic.com. So.
Right.
So, yeah. And she's also on Facebook. You guys can check out all that stuff on MargieSingletonMusic.com. So definitely check her out there as well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Margie.
You have a good holiday, and just enjoy.
Oh, definitely you too. Thanks a lot, Margie.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
That was Margie Singleton, everybody. You guys can check her out, MargieSingletonMusic.com. You can also check out her music at CDBaby.com. Really great guest to have on, and to be able to talk to her about some of the music. So definitely check that out as well. Coming up next week, coming up this Monday, we're going to have a very special show with NASCAR driver and champion Kurt Busch. We're going to be talking a little bit about his upcoming fundraiser coming up on Tuesday, which will be here in Vegas. We'll be talking to him a little bit about that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of NASCAR and a little bit of what he's been up to as of late. So make sure you guys check that out on Monday. We're going to have it on, I believe, at 2 o'clock. Do not quote me on that. We're still working on time, but we will have NASCAR driver and champion Kurt Busch on coming up on this Monday. And we'll have a little bit more stuff going on in December. Hopefully we'll get the Blossom Twins on, talk a little bit about the holiday season. I don't know if they're over in London or not, but if they're back here in the States, we'll try to get them back on for a quick phone or interview as well. So definitely check that out as well. Check us out on Twitter at SWIV. That's at SWIV. And somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. We're starting to roll a little bit about these things, so we're going to be doing these podcasts every so often. Probably not be on a weekly basis, depending on what's going on, but we're going to try our best. Please check out our archives. We've had a bunch of really great guests on as well, so make sure you guys check that out as well. And I thank you for joining us. We will be back coming up next, this coming Monday, with NASCAR champion Kurt Busch, talking about a little bit about his charity. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.